This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here as we debate the merits of going all in on Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett. I say, no, I'm not all in. Too much, too big of a price for a player that is around the age where a lot of pass rushers tend to decline. I mean, not all. There are outliers. Kyle's brought up a lot of those today. But there are some, you know, after his eighth year, goes down to Jacksonville, falls off a cliff. It happens. I mean, it happens to the greatest pass rushers. You know, maybe you blame the short arms, the injury, whatever it was. Some people just decline after 8 years. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Howie yesterday. And this caught my attention because this was kind of the way he views the team and the window they're in and the kind of players that they have and will try to retain. Here's Howie on kind of the range of the age of their team.
Well, I could talk about this team, you know, not going back to 2017. We have a lot of guys who I think are in the prime of their careers under long-term contracts, not saying that team didn't, who are kind of in this 26, 27, 28 year-old range. Really, we have to do whatever we can to make sure that we keep this window open for as long as possible. The most important season is this one coming up, 2025, and doing whatever we can to maximize that. But we have to get creative to make sure that we're keeping as many of our good players as we can. I sat up here last year and I said that's going to include playing young players. And I think that's going to be a huge part of what we are going forward because we're fortunate enough to have a lot of good players who are making a lot of money.
I love Combine Howie because you could pick out anything and feel the way you want to feel about what he's saying. Because at one point he does say the most important thing is next season, right? And that speaks to go get Myles Garrett, repeat. But Hugh, he did talk about that, those ages, 26, 27, 28.
And he mentioned the key words, yeah.
Yeah, and he's talking about keeping the window open for as long as they can. When I heard that, that didn't strike me. And again, he could be playing coy, could be semantics, it could be, you know, a rare opportunity to change his mind. But that didn't strike me as the kind of executive thinking, I'm trading 2 1s for Myles Garrett.
Well, and not only that, the one thing you know about Howie, he's never going to show his hand.
Well, that's true. And he shouldn't.
Yeah, so he's probably being a little coy. It's kind of hard to read him. I think, put it like this, if the price is right and, you know, it falls the way that he wants it to fall or falls the way where he feels comfortable, he's going to pull the trigger.
Wouldn't be floored if Garrett was here. I would be surprised if they paid the price that we're discussing today.
Yes.
Slight possibility that beer can scrambled his brain.
Mm.
And maybe his entire way of thinking has changed.
Just goes opposite of everything.
Wow,
bizarro Howie. Just does everything
crazy.
The opposite.
I'm just kidding. But so on the first round pick thing, the two first round pick things, if the difference really to you is one first round pick versus two, you know, I'm not judging you, but I am judging you. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the last five 32nd overall picks in the NFL draft. Tell me if you'd like, let's say, two of these guys over Myles Garrett. Xavier Leggett, Joey Porter Jr., Lewis Cine, Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
Cine was the
and Edwards Hilaire.
Cine came here
from Georgia. He was Cine was the The safety from Georgia, right?
Yeah, and that's not to say we won't ever find a good player at that position, but that just illustrates the likelihood of you doing it. It's the 32nd pick.
I understand that, but again, there's also players drafted probably in the next 10 picks that were better than all those guys.
Sure, but the point is that's not just like your run-of-the-mill first-round pick.
If we could do let me say this then. If we could do the draft over, last year's draft, is Cooper DeJean a first-round draft
Absolutely.
Pick?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, so we can get them. We can say the draft. We can play this draft game all day.
Well, no, because you're using. I think that's hindsight in a way that like.
I got another one for you. If Jalen Hunt, we know now. Do you think Jalen Hunt would have went higher than he did?
That's my point. You don't have that foresight before the draft.
But does. It feels like they do, and he did. They did a great job.
Dude, hold on. Howie screwed up. We are totally forgetting what this city thought. We had a fire Howie Roseman sign across Schuylkill.
I fought against
because
that.
He sucked at drafting.
And I fought against those people. Those people were wrong.
No, it hasn't moved. This is the same.
I remember.
The line is stuck.
I never met too long ago when they talked about how he couldn't draft corners.
Yeah, that's my point. So now all of a sudden he does it in 1 year, and the whole perception changed. It's not as easy as we're making it out to be.
So basically we only believe in Howie when it's convenient for our argument.
No. I'm saying I think there's an easy demarcation where where we can't just fully have faith in him, and we can't just totally dismiss it. It's a 50-50 thing.
Outside of Bryce Huff. He's been pretty decent. He's been pretty decent as far as the picks that he's made.
Right, but he's not 100%. Like, I just, because if we're playing the percentages here, what's more likely? We hit on a guy at 32, or Myles Garrett adds a ridiculous element to this defense.
I understand your point. Let me spin it a different way, because that's all we do on when we have points. We spin them, right? I think there's a real chance, like they did in 2018, that the Eagles have the 32nd pick, and they say, that's pretty valuable. Well, let's drop down to the second round. You give us a future pick, right? We'll drop down to the second round. You mentioned the last five number 32 picks, and that's totally fair. Most of them have not amounted to much in the NFL. Let me give you the last five Eagles second round picks, because the 32nd pick could easily just become the 10th pick in the second round when Howie trades down. Cooper DeJean, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders.
Huh.
So as much as the 32nd pick has been a crapshoot, the second round pick for Howie has been actually incredible what he's done in that round.
Well, then why are we so unwilling to part with a first round pick when we're better in the second round anyway?
Because he took the first round pick. He could trade back in an extra pick.
Or he can take two of the thirds and move up into the second.
You missed the whole point.
No, I think that is the point. Like, I'm making the point that we're both making the point, I think, that the draft is kind of a crapshoot. I think what ultimately I'm getting at is that it's way more of a sure thing to have Myles Garrett than the picks.
I'm saying you want to put all your chips in this hand.
It's not all of them, though. Two picks.
It's a lot of your chips at the table. Your big chips, right, at the table playing poker.
Well, apparently our second rounds are bigger.
I want to split my hand. I want to give Howie the chance to split my hand. Jake and Delco's up. What's up, Jake?
Yo, what's happening, guys?
Hey, Jake. What's up, buddy?
1 second. Take you off my AirPod there. What's going on?
Hey,
yeah,
Jake.
There you go. Man, that was bad timing. So if there's bear with me for a second here. Mm-hmm. So if there's an apple orchard down the street, and I'm invested in that apple orchard, so I pay attention to what goes on down there. And I heard they're going to be moving some parts around and stuff, so I know a guy who used to work in that apple orchard. And some of my friends got opinions too, but this guy literally worked there. I'm going to listen to that guy probably a little bit more.
Okay, so I'm following.
Who is the guy I'm talking about?
Oh, I don't subscribe to this.
It doesn't matter what you subscribe to.
Ew.
You know what? Shut up. So wait. So who's the guy that you're talking about?
Q. I
get it. So if we're talking about pass rushers, what happens when they get washed up? Yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, you work in apple orchard. Apple orchard. Hugh.
No, I will say this though, Jake. I am a little bit conservative when it comes to spending cash, even though this is not my money. And you know, when we have these meetings, I'm asked a question, and I try to give my honest feeling about it. And my honest feeling is that we've benefited tremendously from the contributions of these young players. So even though Myles Garrett is a huge get, how much draft capital am I willing to give up for him? Because they're asking for a lot. Now, if it's one draft pick, that's one for one. And I'm getting a bona fide player. I understand that. But when we start talking about next year's first-round draft pick and potentially some other players, then that's when I get a little, you know, I get a little leery about that, because Cooper DeJean was a late-round draft pick that was projected to be a number one pick. Nolan Smith was a guy who a lot of people said was a steal at the position that they got him at. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at. Now, if it's one for one, I'm okay with that, because now I'm getting something that's guaranteed, a guaranteed commodity, and I have to pay him. But now when you start talking about giving up multiple picks, and then on top of that, I got to pay him a ton of money, I'm not that comfortable doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's great arguments to be made on both sides. There really is. And I was on Hugh and Joe's side until I called, and then Kyle, when we were talking, he actually swayed me a little bit. And now I'm just completely torn, and I don't know what to do.
I have a way of doing that.
Yeah, well, see, the problem is, and Jay could phone call, Kyle, he gets to badger the witness without anyone in the room. It's you. You're on the phone. You pick up the phone. You talk to whoever the caller
is. I just try to lead the horses to water.
I know, but like, we don't get our chance to talk to the witness until they've already been swayed.
Well, trust me, I'm not able to get through to plenty of people back here.
I could see that.
By the way, if he wants to talk about the apple orchard, I'm the one that sold you the Saquon apple last year. You should trust me.
I mean, I never said you didn't hit that. You hit it.
I nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
Just like I nailed my eight-leg parlay. Same thing.
Well, that's not a good point for Kyle, because we laugh at you that you hit one and you peacocked around here. Now you got Kyle peacocking a year later on Saquon. By the way, I think it in the interest of fairness, because we're only fair and balanced on this show.
Try to be.
We try. You know, we've constantly brought up today that Hugh understands the plight of this because he lived the life of the pass rusher that was older, and he gets that Garrett at some point is going to fall off, right? And all the want-to is not going to change
his
it.
His arm's longer than mine.
Well, man. That's true. But all the want-to is not going to change it when his body starts to go in a couple years. But you know what actually was a good and a smart trade? When the Eagles traded a second and a fifth for a 27-year-old coming off his age 26 season, Hugh Douglas. That was a Hugh Douglas that had a lot of good football left.
Wow. So it's like if we lose this first round pick, you're telling me we could use more and get a Hugh Douglas?
A second and a fifth is way different than two.
Okay,
ones.
We'll still have that if we trade
and
out.
He
two
was
first three, for Garrett.
3 years, sold. 3 years younger, because that was Hugh about to come into his prime.
So what you're saying
traded,
is we can get Garrett and still do that.
Actually,
sold.
Good Hugh.
I got traded over dinner.
Good Hugh.
I got traded over dinner.
Did you? They were having dinner and they said,
he was like, I heard him in the background. You know, I was like, because I'm gonna tell you full disclosure. talk to Parcells, and I said, but I don't want to go to Philly. He said, hey, as he was eating his, I guess it was a steak, because it sounded like a steak.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I know. It just, for the purpose of this story.
Like a steak.
For the purpose of this
was
story.
Was it a steak chew? Because a steak chew's
yeah,
got
you know
a,
what I mean?
A sound.
Like, he was like, hey, kid, side of my hands. Side of my
he
hands.
Was so dumb. He was dumb with
he
you.
Was dumb. Hey, he did like this. That's the sound of me washing my hands of Hugh Douglas. And my agent called me and said, dog, you already been traded. You're in Philly now. And I was like, dang. But then it turned out great.
They're cheering Hugh Douglas in Philly.
It turned out great.
Over dinner, over Bill
over
Parcells
dinner.
Chewing some steak.
All I heard food. Is, I mean, and you sold me. Get Myles Garrett, screw the first round picks, package a second and a fifth, get a great player here. I'm in.
They're not taking
sold.
A second.
Like, I'm listen, sold, fellas.
They're not taking a second.
If the Browns want a second and fifth, I'm in. Let's go to DeMond in Delco. What's up, DeMond? Hey, DeMond. You all right?
You sound like me.
DeMond is in a submarine, so we'll get back to him in just a second. Frank in Collingdale is not happy with Hugh Douglas. What's up, Frank?
Well, it's not just Hugh Douglas. I mean, you know, Mr. Giglio, you're becoming WIP's Chicken Little. The sky is always falling on you.
Frank, who's the sky falling
What did we say that you did not understand? Because that's what we're talking about.
Where is the sky falling? The sky's not falling. Hold on. No sky falling. I didn't say the Eagles will fall into irrelevancy if they make the trade. I just don't want to do it. How is that sky falling?
Stay on topic, Frank, because he talked about something that happened in the past.
You always shade things towards the negative. You always do it.
No, you always Frank, what you do is you don't listen. When I say they're good enough to win the Super Bowl next year without this, how is that negative?
Okay, how are they good enough if they're diminishing their defensive line by losing the two guys that were starters on the defensive line?
Are they not going to get anybody else? They're going to go in with backups next year?
That's what Myles Garrett's for.
You're losing, Frank, the 32nd pick where you can draft a plug and play player like they did this year with Quinion and Cooper.
Okay. All right. You said earlier that it would be a checkers move. Okay.
I think it would be.
It's a checkers move. It's a three-dimensional chess move.
Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because guess who's not going to be here in 3 years? You're not going to have Lane Johnson. You're not going to have Goddard. You're not going to have A.J. Brown.
Brown's not going to be here in 3 years?
Nope. He will not. He will not be here in 3 years.
Why? He's 26 years old.
I understand he's 26 years old, but when he's up for his next contract in 3 years, he's going to be over that 30 mark, and I don't think he's going to get the contract that he wants. He's going to go free agent.
I'm trying to follow logic. So that's going to happen with AJ. Frank made
about 8 different moves and ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But you're willing to trade for and pay a defensive player at the same age you say AJ's going to be out of here.
Okay, but here's the point. Somebody said that it was like Reggie White. He's not Reggie White. But I think a good comp for him would be Bruce Smith. I think he plays – actually, his numbers are pretty close to what Bruce Smith was in his first 8 years. And guess what Bruce Smith did 7 of the next 8 years he was in the league? Average double-digit sacks.
Sure.
This guy is a game-changer. And to not take him just because you don't want to give up a first-round pick, and I don't think it's going to cost 2 firsts. I think it's going to be like a first.
Okay, Frank, let me stop you because I let you talk a long time. Now, for the sake of this argument, that's what we're talking about. That was the premise of me coming on here and saying that it would make me uncomfortable. And to your point, you're talking about all these older players that are going to be older. Guess what was going to happen if we give away all those draft picks? We're not going to be able to replenish the ranks. So
well, you're only giving away 2 picks.
So okay. Listen to what I'm saying. Are you going to listen? Or are you going to keep talking while I'm talking? First of all, Frank, we're giving up 2 first-round draft picks, correct?
Correct.
And we have to pay him well over $30 million, correct? What's going to happen in 2 years when we have to pay Jalen Carter? We're going to have to pay him.
Go ahead.
No, Frank, you like to talk while I'm talking. Go ahead. You got the floor. What are you about to say?
Well, you got to pay him. But my point is you have the core together now. And your window to win is right now with the guys you have. And if you can bring a guy in that's going to make that window a barn door, then you have to take that opportunity.
Okay, Frank, are you done talking now? Because I got something to say.
Yes. Go
ahead. Did we just win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Did we just win the Super Bowl without Myles Garrett?
Yes.
Did we just win the Super Bowl with contributions from rookies on this team?
Yes.
So why is it imperative that we make a move that you feel that's going to put us over the top? We're already at the top of the mountain.
Because you can't count on rookies to play that way every year. You know that, you. You've been around
the league. First, you're right. I have been around the league. And let me tell you, since you brought it up, Frank, I have been around the league. And you know what's happened in the last 5 years in the NFL? Rookies have contributed to Super Bowl teams. Go look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they started 2 rookies at the corner spot.
I think we're missing the point here. You brought up Bruce Smith, Frank, and that's a fair comp, and you're right.
And you know what Bruce Smith is? His mentor.
Yeah.
He's definitely his mentor.
It's a great point. But, Frank, do you think it's more likely he's Bruce Smith and plays like that, or he's more likely to be like more pass rushers, more Hall of Fame pass rushers that at the age of around the 8th year they play in the league, whatever that is, 29, 30, 31, they start to fall off fast. What's more likely?
I think it's more likely he's going to play like Smith.
No, because you want him on the Eagles. This isn't logic.
Cleveland's defense stinks.
Oh, my God.
Bruce Smith was able to play the way
Cleveland's
he was
defense.
Because he had a lot of support.
Cleveland has a really – they have a pretty good defense, dog.
They had the number one defense in the league 2 years ago.
They had Buffalo's defense back in the day. They didn't have Buffalo's defense.
This is my favorite thing we've done today.
We
assume we're getting the outlier because it's happened once. Saquon was – no, we are because we want him here. Like, the more than likely, Myles Garrett's next 5 years will be far worse than his last 5 years. That's just logic.
But the more players that people are bringing up, the more I'm feeling like it's not that crazy of an outlier. Bruce Smith was 39 and he got 9 sacks.
Bruce Smith has the most sacks in history.
I understand that. But we're talking about that kind of caliber of player. Myles Garrett is the top defensive player in the NFL for years.
He's a beast. I think we're missing the whole conversation. Frank, It's about how much am I willing to pay for him. I never once said I wouldn't want Miles here. I'm not willing to give up all of that draft capital to get him.
So I think there's another flawed logic
to
this.
And we appreciate the call, Frank.
And it's the whole we just won the Super Bowl thing. The Eagles won the Super Bowl in 17 with a backup quarterback and a backup left tackle. Does that mean we don't need a better right tackle, or we don't need a better quarterback?
Nearly as good as the one we had this
year.
No,
but my point is, you can't just say it worked last year, it can work again. Yeah. That's not how these things work.
No, I agree with you. And to the people saying they're going to lose Josh Sweat, they're going to lose Milton Williams. Well, the first round pick this year, in my mind, is replacing one of those.
Or Myles Garrett could replace one of those.
Yeah, it's a gummy
but
day.
What about replacing the other one?
Third round pick. Milton Williams was a third round pick.
Right, so over the next two drafts, the two first round picks we could give up, we could get the replacement for Josh Sweat, and this year or next, and the replacement for Milton Williams this year or next.
Yeah, or you can get Myles Garrett and still have a chance to replace Milton Williams.
And they would both come cheap. I think we've also done this thing where we assume Howie has unlocked like some magic. No, it's not magic. No. He's good at it. He's good at it, and I think in part because they pick and choose the five or six or seven players they're willing to go and spend big on.
Yeah.
We're now adding another one in. Like, that changes things.
Garrett is that caliber of player to where you say you make an exception for that.
But you are also trading the picks away. Like, it's not just the money. It's not just the picks.
Just two first-round picks.
Well,
it is. It really is. They're like, I think we're going way too far with what a first, even like a, even a mid-round pick, if it was lower than 32.
Cooper DeJean.
I know.
But you're making my point for me, is that you can still get good players out of the first round.
If we don't have those picks, we don't know.
We will have those picks. We're only giving up a first.
Cooper DeJean.
Correct. I've said this a lot in the last few weeks. The Eagles are now in this century with the Patriots and with the Chiefs. And what I think of when I think of those two teams is the opposite of this. The Patriots moved off a 30-year-old, didn't trade for them. And they had a long run of success because they didn't say the next year is only the one that mattered. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs, literally, 3 years ago, took the best receiver in the sport or one of the top three or whatever. And they said, you know what? Instead of paying him, we're going to trade him for first-round picks, and we're going to draft young, cheap players. And that's probably the biggest reason, because let's be real, Mahomes and the offense the last 3 years have not been as good. They've been carried at times by Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. Why do we look at the two teams that have dynasties and we say, let's do it the opposite?
Well, so I think, and we all kind of came to this conclusion ourselves after we won the Super Bowl, over the last 25 years, it's Patriots, it's Chiefs, and it's Eagles.
Yeah.
And the Eagles have been a little bit differently in how they build a team, but it's worked.
I understand that, but this would be one of the biggest moves they've made in 25 years. How many players they traded two first-round picks for? None.
Yeah, but also, like, we're the one out of those teams that isn't repeating. And I think a lot, like, after
that's fair. They haven't done that.
Yeah, like, after 22, we're sitting there saying, we can run this back with this defense again, and things will be fine. It wasn't. We said a lot of the same stuff after 2017. That turned out to be wrong. Like, you should be ahead of the curve. You should be ahead of the counterpunch. You need to get better before other teams make you worse.
I think that the Eagles are going to do that. I think that we're so caught up on this, we're not listening to what's actually being said. And I think Howie gave you the biggest hint. He said, bear with him, number one.
Patience.
And he says something about the contribution of young guys.
And he said the bulk of our team, 26, 27, 28.
And not only that, go back to listen to what Vic Fangio said. Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s future is probably now. Like, go back and just listen to what's being said. Like, they've been workshopping this for months.
I'm sorry. I can't get excited about the idea of Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s future versus having Miles Garrett next year.
How excited were you about Zach Bond when he got here?
Yeah, not much.
No, not very excited. But that's the point. Like, you can still add good players on the cheap to your team.
But you're missing. Like, how? I understand. I am not trying to take anything away from Miles Garrett's greatness. But you saw a guy come in here in 1 year and change everything in 1 year with a bunch of dudes he had nothing to do with, and he did a hell of a job.
Imagine what he would do at Miles.
I think three months ago, I was prepared to be all in on Miles, and then I watched Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith chase down the best quarterback of this generation, in part because of the coordinator they have, and I said, "Nah, I'm not doing that." 215-592. They got the guy. They have enough. They have the the crux of this. Now let's just add more to
him. I just don't want to get that much for him.
Well, that and that's like a lot of things for Hugh. He's just not willing to pay that price tag.
I can't believe the first round pick, the one, is the one that broke the camel's back.
I'm not willing to do what it takes to date Neil.
Sometimes you have to have a walk away point.
I'm even more upset than I was when I got in here today.
That's business. All right, your phone call is coming up. Plus, we will finally. Maybe I shouldn't add it finally. It sounds bad. But we will officially say goodbye to an Eagles legend who said goodbye to the NFL yesterday on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Jason Peters, you know, bless his heart, he's one of the best Philadelphia Eagles ever. Comes in, plays guard, goes to tackle, comes back and plays guard, and actually played pretty well.
Bless his heart. Doug was given the eulogy years ago. Welcome back to Midday Show. Hugh, yesterday we got the news that, and I think
Daddy
it was like
finally
it was a Freudian slip, the finally. Because it feels like he should have went home a few years ago. But he is officially retiring now. Jason Peters spent 19 years in the NFL.
Hell of a career, man.
Yeah, a lot of that, 11 of those with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was, now speaking of great trades and you know, the right time in their career, right after his age 26 season, the Eagles traded for him from Buffalo. They traded a first, a fourth, and a sixth, and he was an incredible player here. He went Pro Bowl, All Pro. Then
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, oh, definitely. He missed the 2012 season with the Achilles, but then he came back All Pro, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl. And then the first time he missed the Pro Bowl as an Eagle actually was the year they won the Super Bowl when he got hurt in October, and then they ended up winning it anyway. But Hugh, what a career. And it's kind of weird how it ended, right? Because he ended in Chicago, Dallas, the Seahawks.
He went on a little tour.
Yeah. But now he's going to hang it up now at the age of 41 years old. Jason Peters.
I ain't mad at him, man. He had a hell of a career.
He did.
Immediately took another job in the NFL, by the way.
Well, he's
went to the Cowboys, right?
No, Seahawks. So it was like the reports must have came in like a 5-minute. Like, there was a 5-minute difference in these reports where he retired, and then it was like, Jason Peters will be with the Seahawks as, like, a, maybe some, like, scout, or I forget, but he's a veteran mentor.
Okay. He's transitioning to a different role. But he's going to stay on the payroll. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, I remember when he was here towards the end, his legacy here, obviously a great trade and a great player. It got kind of awkward towards the end. He didn't want to leave. And then they moved to guard once, but then back to
Jason
tackle.
Jason Peters, bless his heart.
You really thought by Doug talking there, he was gone. Like, we lost
bless
him.
Bless his heart, it's crazy.
Remember he asked for more money to go back to tackle? It was kind of awkward the last few years. It was time to say goodbye.
Well, I tell you, though, but you're talking about, like, guys that play that position and play as long as they do, man, that's where it's at. Like, to have that ability and longevity in football is phenomenal. Congrats to him, man.
Yeah.
Congrats to him.
Great career. My favorite thing was when he was All-Pro in 2011, tore his Achilles, he came back, immediately made the All-Pro team again. Like, that just shows how great of a player.
At his peak, he was unbelievably good.
Oh, yeah. He was a monster. He was one of the great left tackles ever, and I agree with you, Hugh. He's a Hall of Famer. All right, let's try DeMond again here, who was in a submarine earlier. Is he out of the submarine? DeMond?
I'm out of the submarine, fellas. I'm out.
All right,
what's
buddy.
On,
what's
man?
Up?
Hey, glad to be with y'all, man. Glad to be with y'all.
You got it. We're happy to have you. So what's on your mind today? What are you thinking on this whole Myles Garrett situation?
I think that, to be honest, we forgot. We got the best player in the NFL right now, JC. These dudes on the line, they getting paid because of him. Every single down, every single game, I watch it, he's getting double-teamed, triple-teamed. These other dudes got to beat one-on-ones. So how good do you have to be in order to beat a one-on-one? Depending on your opponent. Am I right?
Well, I think he's certainly going to help Milton Williams get a big payday in a couple weeks. That's for sure.
That's all I'm saying. So in regards to Myles Garrett, yeah, he's phenomenal. And I heard somebody say it earlier, and I agree. If we got him, it'd be over. It'd be like Reggie White and Simmons and Jerome Brown and them back again. It'd be unstoppable. But the whole thing is, I'm not mortgaging two first-round late draft picks, if it was going to be that, for this dude, because I believe JC is the answer. I believe he's the next big thing across the league, man.
Well, you could be. I mean, you could be right on this. Like 2 years from now or next year, it wouldn't shock me if Jalen Carter wins Defensive Player of the Year, like the way Myles Garrett has before. Yeah, he could do it.
He's the best one. Look, one more thing for y'all cut me off. Joe, and this is for you, Hugh. Remember I called and I told y'all Kuhn Matata? stop worrying about these Washington dudes. They had to win with a backup. Man, y'all killing me. Keep talking about Washington. I'm scared of this. I'm scared. Yeah, these dudes got smoked, and they was in the mode to get smoked the first time we lost our quarterback. Other than that, they don't stand a chance. One dude, him, dig this. We played the Browns already. And who we got to go against, number one or number two in the whole league? Left tackle, right tackle. We got them. So I'm not concerned if we go to somewhere else. I'm cool.
So I understand not be scared. I'd rather him not go to Washington.
Yeah, come on.
Damon, appreciate it. So, like, I'm not trading the two ones for him. But if you say to me, hey, do you care if he goes to Washington? Well, yeah, of course. I don't want him there. Yeah. I'd rather him. If I had my way, he'd go to the AFC. And then it's like, it's just kind of a wash.
Washington, without a doubt, stands a chance if they add Myles Garrett this offseason.
Of course they do.
Can we not?
I didn't say they didn't, but I'm not afraid of him.
Well, so look, and here's what I'll say, because I understand his point about having Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. Nobody wrecks games against the Eagles. But it's not even necessarily about the game that we play Washington. Washington could end the season with a better record than us.
And have a division title.
Have a division title, the home game. And, you know, we could end up running into a team that has something that we that it matches up well with our weakness. And Washington all of a sudden goes further than us. It's not about us versus Washington. It's about, does it make Washington better than us?
Yeah, I'd rather.
Out of the NFC.
Yeah, they're a threat. I mean, if you don't think they're a threat moving forward, I think you're
being, they are a threat. Yeah. And they're going to be a threat even if they don't get Myles Garrett.
Yep.
You know, it's just, that's just. That's just the reality of it. I can't worry about that. I have to worry about what's best for the Eagles and the path that they take to get to where they want to go.
So I do think that Howie's going to keep himself involved in this, if only nothing else than to make the Commanders pay more. Like, if it comes down to that, if I'm Howie, I would go to my limit just to get the Commanders to throw one extra thing in.
Oh, they're going to do that.
Yeah, but
they're going to do that.
But that could hurt them down the line.
Yeah, down the road. Because this is, again, this is chess. This ain't checkers. This is chess.
Okay, if this is checkers, if the Myles Garrett thing is a checkers move, this is kinging me. We're getting kinged.
I didn't mean it like that.
Well, so I did. I heard somebody make that comparison.
It's not bad. Yeah.
You know what, Damon? You know what Damon reminded me of there? I got PTSD from the Saquon conversation last offseason. Our O line makes any running back look great. Like, you know, what's Saquon going to do? Run for 2,000 yards? Yeah. By the way, so what if Myles Garrett plays with Jalen Carter? In the Saquon comp, that's a 20-sack season.
But see, nobody's – well, I'm not denying that could be the case. I'm more so about what am I giving up to getting.
Right.
That has been my argument all day long.
Yeah, I think
– what am I giving up to getting?
F them picks, you.
I can't give up all of them, though.
I could only speak for myself. I questioned how great Saquon would be because his age, his injuries, like how would he – could he do what he did? And he did. I won't question, can Garrett next year be dominant with next to Carter and with Vic Fangio? Yeah, like, it's probably pretty likely if he got here next year, he'd have 15, 16, 17 sacks in this defense. You're not going to hear me say, you know what? I don't know if he's any good anymore. But very quickly, that changes with a lot of these guys. Like, 2 years from now, the fall off could start. And then those picks we gave up, it's like, man, I wish we didn't do that. You know, that's it.
If you think people are riding the high of this Super Bowl win, could you imagine if we go back-to-back next season?
Well, that'd be a
then it doesn't matter what the hell they do.
Well,
for people.
So but we are yelling at each other 2 weeks after the break.
Well, I'm just saying, like, because this whole thought that we just won the Super Bowl, you know, we'll go right back, like... Can you imagine if we won back-to-back? How this town will really be smelling themselves?
It'd be insane. It'd be really awesome. Would. It would be awesome. 215-592-9494. All right, Cowboy Jim is up here. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Hey, I was just reading. Travis Kelce was sick during the Super Bowl. Guess that'd make any defense look good, right?
You're saying they played well because Travis Kelce had a cold? I mean, come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the bubble
there
guts.
Our defense was sick, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hugh, I'll get to you in a second. Listen, DeMarcus Lawrence is probably going to go, so we need Myles Garrett. If Myles Garrett goes to the Eagles, I will watch no football for next year. I will watch
again,
nothing.
You're missing the story. There, Parsons is going to ask out, and you guys are going to have nothing. How's that sound?
Well, great. Okay, let's talk about the hypocrisy of the Eagle fans and WIP with the tush-push.
Okay.
If the Dallas Cowboys had the tush-push, and we were successful.
What have I done to deserve this?
Everybody was doing it. You guys would throw a fit.
Yeah, but this is not.
24/7.
But first of all, do you realize how absurd the world is where the Cowboys are really that good? I mean, Cowboy Jim, it's been 30 years. 30.
He's on another planet.
I look to the future. I look to the future. I don't look to the past. Okay, so.
You have got to be smoking something.
Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Something you said yesterday. So you said that defensive players need to play harder to stop the tush push. So, Hugh, when Jim Johnson said, hey, guys, we need to spend 30 minutes on stopping the Cowboys' tush push, and, well, 90% of it will be successful, but you'll probably get injured doing it. So how did you play harder? How would you have played harder?
What do you mean? You talking about Sean McDermott? Are you making some drawing some parallels to Sean McDermott?
I'm saying they're not talking about injury during the game because they only do like two or three times a game. I'm talking about injuries during the
practice.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think I think the way that Coach Sirianni framed it is that they do a great job of taking care of guys when they practice the tush push. So there's no chance for them to get injured.
It's almost like they practice the technique more than the actual physicality of it because they don't want any people jumping on each other.
Yeah, they don't want to get injured. Yeah. So how can these other teams, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders, they have to learn how to defeat it because they have to play you twice.
Sure.
But these other teams only have maybe 2 or 3 days a week if they're playing the Eagles that week to learn to try to stop it. And you can't stop it
in
2 or 3 days.
Jim, most teams can't stop Patrick Mahomes from throwing. Do we take his arm away? Like, what are we doing?
Well, you took away Travis Kelce because he was sick. So, made you all look good.
Yeah, that seems to me like a convenient spin that he's in decline. He had a cold in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's 35.
I'm sick.
Come on now.
And I'm having another issue today. It's very serious going on here. It's apparently the Eagle players were voting about what's good and bad about things, that everyday things. And they gave travel an F.
That's because of you.
Right. So an F.
That's disturbing.
They went from a C- to an F. What did I do?
Well, I think they may probably know who you are and your alter ego.
Is that what it is?
They listen to WIP.
He's been outed.
Yeah, you're in trouble now, Jim. I don't know why they did that, but hopefully it gets better. How about that? That's a tough spot for Jim. They gave Jim an F. Much like our listeners, Cowboy Jim gets an F from the Eagles.
That's crazy.
Maybe if you upgrade them to first class like you did the afternoon show, they won't be making them sit in
coach. At least he's taking accountability on the air for it.
Yeah, that felt like it hit him in the stomach when he saw that.
Deep. That was crazy.
Again, you upgraded Jack Fritz to first class, and you didn't do that for us. So am I bitter about it? Absolutely.
Should be.
Yeah, I'm like Sirianni.
Jack doesn't deserve that.
Take offense to that. Dustin in the Northeast wants to go after Hugh. What's up, Dustin?
Joey G.
Dustin, first of all, Dustin, what did I do?
What can you do? You're gonna call me crazy right now, brother. I feel like this is called a Hugh Douglas moment. Dude, I completely forget what I was mad about. I got a work call while I was on hold. Big fella.
Were you mad at me about my whole Myles Garrett giving up the two first-round draft picks?
No, it does have to be with that because you're the only defensive player that doesn't want to get a Hall of Fame defensive player.
I'll let you finish. Dustin, go ahead.
Dustin is unpacked something.
I knew this was coming.
Hugh wants less people that will be better pass rushers than him here
that
in Philadelphia.
Is not the case.
Wow, the psychology of this.
No, Dustin, I'm going to let you finish and then allow me to defend myself. Go. The floor is yours.
It's hilarious, dude. It just came back to me, brother. It's all coming back to me now. My favorite part of the day, and it happens once a day, is when a caller tries to overtalk you and you start getting pissed, dude. That is my favorite part. I was telling Kyle, we need the witch. After you say, go ahead.
You should see his face.
Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. The floor is yours.
I got some numbers here.
Dustin. Here's the thing, and this is the honest to goodness truth. I thought that somebody would think that when I come with my take, but Dustin, it's really rooted in how much am I giving up for him and the impact that the young guys had on the team this year. That's strictly where it's coming from. I would love to have Myles Garrett here, but how much am I willing to give up? Like those two first-round draft picks, I look at that, and I look at the contribution that these rookies had on this team this year, and I'm like, and I think about that, and I think about how the league is going and how quarterbacks make the most money. You got to build a team that's a competitive team that is not in salary cap hell every year. That's how I was thinking. But I would love to have him.
let me throw you this curveball at you, and the reason why I would do everything I can to get him here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not only you're going to lose Josh Sweat. You're probably going to. I know nobody wants to hear it. He's my top pick, though. You're probably going to lose the big fella inside, Melton Williams. He's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get paid. But here's where it comes. And you're losing a Hall of Famer in Brandon Graham. You're replacing him with Myles Garrett. He is going to draw a double team every time. You already have, arguably, would you say he's the best interior defensive lineman?
Jalen Carter? Yes.
So then you do what he did, what Howie did this year, and you go find the needle in the haystack with a Bond, okay? And you get the defense. You don't think Nolan Smith is going to be able to beat one-on-one. The quickness he had off the ball,
yeah.
No matter if you, as long as you bring Myles Garrett in here, whether you have rookies or you have dudes that were on practice squads that were on the brink, kind of like a Bond, they're going to get the opportunities on this defense. Right now, you got to do everything you can to get this Hall of Famer on the end because it's going to solidify your defensive line so that Vic Fangio doesn't have to blitz in the Super Bowl again next year because his defensive line is going to be so
unbelievable. They didn't blitz in the Super Bowl, though.
I know. Well, he's worried, but they were. I see what you're saying.
But Dustin, how about and this is another reason. Like, if it wasn't this year, I would be on board with you, but you know why? This is the year that when you hear all the experts talk about the draft class this year, lot of defensive linemen, mm-hmm. man, lot of good players,
and you can get one cheap.
And you get that's what I like. I'm looking at the future. You get a lot of pass rushers cheap, and the one thing that I do know, Dustin, is if you get a young guy in here in this system and just say, "Hey, go get the quarterback," because you could do that this year. They have a lot of those guys in it, and that's kind of my thinking. I hear you, and I'm with you on Myles Garrett within reason. That's the only thing.
But that's not all in. Within reason is different. All in means you're going to go to the end degree. Dustin, we appreciate the phone call. Dustin gave us a lot there, but one thing he may have hit a trigger point was like, is Hugh just trying to protect his place in Eagles history?
I think he's onto something.
So Hugh Douglas currently ranks sixth all time with the Eagles in sacks, where it's Reggie, Trent, Brandon Graham, Clyde Simmons, Fletcher, and then you're sixth.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Last year you were okay with Hassan Reddick, who was barreling down on your 54.5
mm-hmm.
in an Eagles uniform. You were okay letting him go. I'd say a lot of times the last 2 weeks you have mentioned that Josh Sweat is out of here. Josh is just 11 sacks behind you for the most in Eagles, sixth most in Eagles history. And now, against the idea of Garrett, who would probably top those 54.5 in 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, Kyle, do you think deep down Hugh's just trying to protect his spot?
Yeah, not even deep down. I mean, it's pretty outward. He's just doing a good job of hiding it today.
Oh my goodness,
hiding behind logic.
I like how it gets personal. Can I offer y'all up something? You know, when I got here and I was playing, I was fourth on that list.
Oh.
I moved back two spots, which I am totally okay with.
Well, I don't know about that.
I am. Because Trent Cole bumped me back, and then Brandon.
Two guys, and Fletcher.
Fletcher. Yeah.
So it was Reggie. It was Reggie Simmons, and then you. You were third when I was plummeting down.
But no, dude, that's what it's about. But you know what I take extreme joy in, and you probably won't believe when I say it. Trent Cole is from Xenia. Trent Cole used to watch me at practice when he was at Central State. So in essence, like, Trent Cole kind of modeled his game after mine.
Let's keep an eye on this.
That makes me feel great.
Because Trent Cole is also long
great.
Retired.
Yeah, it made me feel great.
He's growing up watching you.
Yeah.
All right, I need us all to do. We need to remind ourselves. Let's put a reminder. When it's time for Nolan Smith's contract extension, let's see what side Hugh's on the debate. Because Nolan is probably going to be in that ballpark.
Nolan's going to be a beast, man.
Yeah.
Listen.
He was like, get him out of here. And I wouldn't re-sign him as he's barreling down on your
sacks. Wait a minute. See, this is how I look at it. I'm the prototype. They're the upgrades. But it started with me.
You're a pioneer.
That won't you feel me?
Trailblazer.
Like I'm the prototype.
Trailblazer Douglas.
It started with me. I am the prototype. And then they built a better version of me every time. That's how I look at it.
They said, if we could just make his arms a little bit longer.
That's what I'm saying. But I was the template that they're built off of. So I'm the foundation.
Wow.
So in
this
essence,
is a spin job.
So in essence, I'm their daddy. Like, in essence, I'm their father. I am Darth Vader in this piece. I'm going to say something else.
Yeah.
All right, let's end with
you
this.
Today. You
really have. You need to take a deep breath. We need to end with this.
Gotta find some way to make myself feel
better.
Yeah,
that was a good spin. We need to end with this because when you see a call like this on the board, you can't let it go. Bill in Warrington says, you and I, Hugh, sound like Cowboys fans.
Let's see how Bill spins
ahead,
this.
Bill.
How do we sound like Cowboys fans, Bill?
I love you guys. I'll start off with that. And go Birds.
Go Birds, Bill.
Go Birds.
We are in our Super Bowl window to set a dynasty, to set a standard for the league to look up to, man. I don't think we pull the gas pedal off the metal or keep it at the same speed. I think we add a tank of nitrous and try to jam it up and go crazy. And Myles Garrett would be like adding a tank of nitrous to that defensive
line. I like the car.
He's speaking your language.
The other thought with Q's analogy about the car is, Q, you're buying a car for fun or to drive around, but it's not a race car. Although it may be fast and you can win some street races, it's not a race car that's going to win the Indy 500 or anything like that. We're trying to build that car that will win that quarter mile against anyone.
But that Indy cars and drag cars are two different cars. Not two analogies.
You're willing to put as much money as possible into those cars to become the best.
No, as a drag. No, wait a minute. First of all, Bill, I'm pushing back just a little bit. When you build a drag car, you build it for more bang for your buck. If you're building an Indy car, that's something totally different. So
comes out with another car that has an improvement, you're going to try to add that improvement.
No, but I'm saying, but if I can tweak my drag car and keep the cost down, ain't that a win?
That's only if you come out victorious with the
same
thing.
That's what I'm saying. But we're winning.
You're banking on the Eagles winning a Super Bowl staying pat, essentially. I'm trying to say, let's go all in and add another player to win that Super Bowl.
But I don't
know if they stand pat if they win a Super Bowl again. Did we be good?
Well, we don't know.
But Bill, it's not fair. It's not fair to say that they're going to stand pat. They're at the combine right now.
I like how not trading a first-round pick is standing pat. Last year's first-round pick was their starting quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Bill, awesome. Cooper DeJean.
They were awesome. I love both of them. Mm. There's a little bit of luck into that. Cooper DeJean fell. Let's be honest. Yeah. We got lucky getting him where they also traded up.
Bill, that's a good point, and I agree.
It's not standing pat. It's kind of down the middle moves.
Yeah, but it's smart.
I mean, if you hit on them, then you get lucky.
Yeah, and you have better chance of long term success. All right. Did we change anyone's mind today? Did we settle anything? Or no? The three of us are exactly where we were four hours ago.
I'm not trying to give up a whole lot. I like him. I like him a lot. I just don't want to give up two first-round draft
picks. All right, Frugal Douglas says no. All right, you guys have a great rest of your day. Ike, Spike, and Fritz next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Birds!